It says here in chapter 20, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned unto herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. All right. Here again, you see that God has commissioned the ministry to remit sins and to retain sins. They are commissioned to do that by the power of the resurrection. People will say to you that you don't have to go to church, that it's not necessary. You can live a Christian life without it. That's not true. In the first place, you're going to have to hear a preacher. You're going to have to hear one if you're ever converted. I say this to those that might hear wherever these tapes go or these messages. You're going to have to find a preacher somewhere. So you might say, well, I'll just stay home and I will give my heart to God right here, and I'll serve God right here. You'll never be able to do it. You might be in a field, you might be at home, you might be somewhere. You might surrender your heart to God because you have heard of the gospel some way or another. In the Old Testament, the heavens declared his handiwork, and they heard of it that way. In the day we're living in, you hear of it through the ministry. It comes through the ministry.
Someone would say, well, I'll just go to my Bible. I don't have to go to the ministry. But the Bible came from a ministry. The Bible teaches that this book was wrote as men were moved upon by the great heavenly Holy Spirit. Holy men that wrote this book. There is no coming to God without the ministry. You don't do that. Neither can you serve God without the ministry. You cannot stay home and serve God. That's out. Someone would say, well, I know that I can. Let me prove to you that you can. You're saved by faith, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And the word said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible said, follow in his steps. And the Bible said it was his custom to be in the house of God every Sabbath. So you see, you break the scriptures to begin with. You violate faith to begin with. You don't have anything to save you. So when people tell you those foolish things, it's because they are ignorant and they don't understand. All right. I'll repeat that. I said they are ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So if you listen to them, then you're going to be in ignorance too. All right, so it also teaches that the minister is your shepherd. He's there to watch over you, and he's there to help you. He's there for your good. He's there for your sake. He has the ability to remit your sins. He has the ability to retain your sins. And someone would say, oh no, I'll do my own thing. Away with him. I'm not under him. He's not my minister. I'll go over across the hill. I'll move over to the next county. Doesn't mean a thing. God said to the prophet, I have set thee over the people on the next hill. In the next county. He said, I have set thee over the nations. And what you pull down will be pulled down. And what you plant will be planted. And what you pluck up will be plucked up. The ministry is not as denominational people would have you to think it to be. The church world is in a religious rut because they've been indoctrinated wrong. And the Bible said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. So I tell you that the preacher is there to every creature throughout the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So did Paul. So hath many other preachers. He is over the people. It doesn't matter whether it is what you call his flock or not his flock. If he meets a person uptown, they can belong to any flock that they want to belong to. But he has the right to preach the gospel to them. And he had better preach the gospel to them. If the occasion presents itself, it is his duty to preach the gospel to them because they are under his jurisdiction. If their pastor is advanced above the preacher that is preaching to them, then that preacher is under their pastor. If their pastor is not advanced, then he is under the pastor that is talking to them. So then God has so set it up that he has brought forth a fivefold ministry. Not so that one could be in Monroe and one could be over here in Atlanta, Georgia, or this kind of thing. Not in one denomination and another denomination. But he has so put them in the body that they are to perfect the saints of God by perfecting their faith. So you see, it's a great thing. And they have the power to remit sin. They have the power to bind your sins to you. Judgment begins at the house of God. It's not the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. And the preacher that preaches, it is not the man that was born of Adam. He's dead. He's buried. He's gone. The man that stands is Christ. He's God. He's speaking to you. And the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. He's bone of the bone and flesh of the only body that God has, which is the body of Jesus. The Bible said Jesus is the image of the God of heaven. He is the express image. He is the only human body. The Bible said, and in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead as pertaining to the body. There is no other human body. And we are bone of that bone and flesh of that flesh as members of his body and as a minister.
We have the same power and authority that he had. He remitted sin and he retained sin. He forgave sin. And the Pharisees and the scribes laughed, mocked him, said, "Who is he that thinks that he can forgive sin?" And Jesus rebuked them and let them know that he had power to forgive sin. He said, "I thank thee, Father, that I have power over all flesh. You've given me power over all flesh. I can do whatever I want to with it. I can remit the sins of the flesh or not. It's up to me. I can do whatever I want to." So he says here to his disciples, he said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they'll retain." In another place, said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted." And then he says to the disciples, "I have not prayed just for you, but all of these that will believe on you as down through the years," which takes in little Bethlehem. "I have prayed for all of them. Father, keep these. I pray for all that you've given me. I've not lost them one." So we have a great, wonderful security. In God, we have the power as the ministry to watch over you, to bless you or to curse you. A minister can bring a blessing to your home or he can bring a curse to your home. It's up to him. He can do whichever one he wants to do. That's why the Bible says, if a prophet prophesy anything and it comes to pass, said, fear that prophet. Why should you fear that prophet? Because like Elisha, he turned around to those children and cursed those children. And two she-bears come out of the wood and tear 40 and two of them just because he didn't bless them. So it is up to him. Now, he hath a constraint, just like Elisha had a constraint, but not of the people. He hath the constraint of God. It's like a policeman. He comes out here, a sheriff. He comes out here, he's got a gun on his side. He can shoot whoever he wants to. Oh, somebody said, "Oh no, oh yes, all he's got to do is pull the trigger and that's it." Oh, somebody said, "They'll get him." So what? He's already pulled the trigger. You're still dead. What difference does it make? Says, "Well, God will get you, preacher." But what if the trigger's already pulled? See, what good is that to you? See, the man's got a gun on his side. And if he's got a gun on his side as to the natural, then I say, fear him. Because he can pull the trigger. All he's got to do, as many policemen have done, pull a little gimmick, kill somebody, carry a little story back, and that's all it is to it. And like I've heard in the service, they used to, if you killed a man that was under your jurisdiction, they gave you a carton of cigarettes and sent you to another field. They wouldn't keep you at the same field. So I'm just using a little illustration to let you know that the minister has power. What kind of power does he have? The Bible said, "Will you not be afraid? If a prophet speaks something, it comes to pass. Fear that prophet." Then he says concerning the ministry, "Will ye not be afraid, seeing that they are God's ministers, and you're not afraid? Seeing that they are set there for the purpose of executing judgment upon them that do evil." And God said, "Cursed are they if they hold back their sword from blood." God says, "Use that sword." Said, "If you do wickedly," he said, "then be afraid." Be afraid. If you are going to be out of order and do the things that are wrong, be afraid. Because the minister is going to get you. He's just as sure to get you as you breathe your breath. He's going to get you because he's out there to get you. That's what he's there for. He is the minister of God. The Bible said, "I, God, have set him there to execute judgment upon them that do evil," and said, "Rebuke them openly that others may see and fear when somebody does wrong." Don't try to say, "Hey, we'll keep this close over here," which I try to do and ministers try to do to keep them embarrassing people. Said, but just rebuke them openly and let the others see that you're not going to tolerate. So
He beareth not the sword in vain. And God said he is cursed if he holds it back from blood. He beareth it not in vain. And the Bible said he is God's revenger. He is set there to revenge, to execute judgment. He is a judge. He is there to execute judgment and wrath, the wrath of God. He has the right to call the curse or the wrath of God upon them that do wickedly. And he is so esteemed by God as the ministry that the Bible said if you just trouble him, you don't have to be around where he's at. You don't have to say anything to him. You can be off on the other side of the hill and have a little conversation going and say anything that will get back to him, that will trouble him or what he's doing. And the Bible said that's unprofitable to you. You're in trouble. And God said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. Or you can do something that's good, that might be pleasing to him. Just one little thing, and he can speak a blessing on you. Like it was with Jesus when they came to Jesus, though he was a man, just like you're a man, I'm a man. They came to Jesus, he could bless them. And as to the disciples, they could bless them. The Lord said, if you go to a house, you enter this house, you let your peace be upon this house. That is, go with the love of God. Go with the attitude to bless. Don't go with an old bad attitude of trying to find fault. Like in the house of God, enter in with thanksgiving and praise. When you go to this home, said you let your peace be upon it. Said, but if your peace return to you, that is, if these spirits start rising up and all of a sudden you feel your peace returning to you and you know that the Prince of Peace is not there, and you perceive that they're gossipers and backbiters and troublemakers and fault finders and whatever, said, just shake the dust from your shoe. He said, and it'll be more tolerable in the day of the judgment, which day of the judgment could be 10 minutes after you leave the place. But in the day of the judgment, as to standing before the great white throne, or as to the day of their judgment when God judges them, it'll be more tolerable, I'll be more merciful to Sodom and Gomorrah than I will then. So, the minister is set there. He's merciful. If he's got God, he is merciful. A father can pick up a little child and beat him to death. But he's merciful if he is a decent father. He is merciful to that little one. He is merciful. He is wanting to help them. As Jesus said, feed my lambs. He's wanting to feed them. Someone would say, there you are, Brother Pike, right there. That draws the line for the ministers. You don't mess with God's people, so you better leave me alone. Folks, the first thing you need to find out is that you ain't God's people. Let's give him a hand. That's why the minister's after you. He wouldn't be after you if he was God's people. He wouldn't be after you if you was that little lamb, but he has discernment, and he knows that you are a wolf, and he knows what you're there for, and he knows your cunning, religious way of life is going to cause him to run the sword through you. All right, now that sounds better, don't it? All right, so me and the sheep are getting along all right. So we find that the minister is not a terror. Whereas the Bible said, them that God has ordained as to the laws of the land, as to powers, as to authorities, that they are not a terror to the righteous, nor to the right kind of people. They're not a terror. The law is not a terror to a man that is right. Someone said, well, you just don't know the law that's in my town. I may not know the corruption that's in your town, but if the law is in your town, the law will protect you. And you might have a corrupt boycott thing that's going under the guise of law. And it might be terrible. But the law is right. Solomon said, I looked and I saw in the place of the law corruption. In the places of judgment, I saw corruption. So if it is the law, it's not for a terror. It is for your benefit. It is to do away with the wicked. It is to keep the wicked off of the streets so we can walk, so we can live, so we can breathe, to keep somebody from slitting our throat, or somebody that's out on dope running wild with their automobiles or just doing anything they want to whenever they get ready. You know, it's to keep them down. It's to stop them. That's what the minister's for. The law is a type of it. We're here to stop those. The Bible said that every mouth may be stopped. Every mouth may be stopped. Today, the ministry is filthy and corrupt. The church is filthy and corrupt. It's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, starting with the preacher right on down. Nothing but devils and demons. Either a gossiping devil that's called an unclean bird, or a fault-finding devil, or a conniving devil, or a jealousy devil, or an old intellectual devil that's always reasoning in the mind as to their own understanding, is filled with devils and demons. It's a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. But at the same time, there is a true blood-washed saint of God, or a true church that's called His body, that's in the midst of all of this. And it is holy and spotless, and it is blameless. It is blessed of God and cannot be cursed, because it is so sweet and real and wonderful and kind and concerned and ever praying and seeking a way to help the poor and the needy and to pull souls out of the fire, hating the garments that spotted with the flesh. There is such a church. It's in the minority. Few there be that find it. A little child shall be able to number them. But there is such a church. It is called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish that we had time tonight. I don't have but a few minutes to comment, because I took up so much time before we got to this. But we see that the minister has power. He has power. Anybody that is a Christian demands respect. The Bible said, honor the brotherhood. Honor the brotherhood. The sisters, honor those sisters. If they are sisters, you should honor them. Someone would say, well, I do honor them. You know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. I tell them where to get off also if they don't do me right. Folks, I tell you what. When the sheriff comes out with his gun in his hands, one hand, and the handcuffs in another, and he says, I'm looking for you, you honor him. You honor him. Right there, you honor him. Like the woman up here, Gracie was talking to her last night, I believe it was. Up here at the Magic Mark, is it? Said that somebody came in to rob her a few weeks back. Said the man was real polite. He had his gun and said, ma'am, just do what I tell you. Just want the money. Give me the bags. It's behind the counter. So she said, I don't have any bags behind the counter. He said, ma'am, just do what I said. Hand me the bags. She handed him the bags that was behind the counter. She honored him. And he said, just fall down on your face right there. She said, she honored him. She fell right down. That's what I mean. Honor the saints. Why should we honor the saints? They don't have handcuffs in one hand and a gun in another. Honor the saints. Because the saints, that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And if you touch a saint of God, the Bible said you have touched the apple of his eye. And God will literally tear you into pieces. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You mess with the saint of God and you are in trouble. You make your remarks about a saint of God, you're in trouble. You talk about a saint of God, you've got to get over here with your husband or with your wife, and you just got to chew them up a little bit and talk about them, and you're in trouble. Folks, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Somebody said, well, I did it and I got by with it. No, you didn't. You did it. You just haven't come into your harvest yet. Your patch is still growing. Just wait. You'll find out God didn't miss a seed. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Today, tomorrow, whatever you say in secret, whatever you've done in secret, the Bible said you might as well to shout it from the housetop, because everything that's done, even in secret behind closed doors as to your very thoughts, the Bible says is going to be made manifest. So, this is where the problem is. We don't honor the word. We don't honor the minister. And then our homes are torn all to pieces. Our children, our minds, our bodies, our jobs, our blessings have just gone and blown to bits. All because when the preacher tried to reason with us, we thought, well, what about you? You know, well, hell, get you too, preacher. All because of that kind of foolish doings, you know, or all because you want to sit at home and think, well, I'm right with God. I'm special with God. I've done something for God. Don't you remember I've done certain things for God? I can say something about that man and woman if I want to, because I'm special. It don't work like that, folks. It don't work like that. You can't come and sit on these benches and just be carnal as to being strong-spirited and not yield. You can't even do that. You're in trouble. If you come and sit on these benches and you take a stout outlook as to firmness in your spirit, that you're not going to move with the minister, submit with the minister, as to say amen in your spirit to what he is saying, or to give your attention to him, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. See, when you come into that door, you should have a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of praise, because you are walking into the domains of Almighty God. And the Bible said you should know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. We say ground and pillar. Gives it as pillar and ground of the truth. So, see, we come in to the presence of God like the man that came here not too long ago. I told him, I said, don't be walking around in my services like that, because it was a spirit. I don't have to listen to that. I'm a Christian. I've been doing this for years and years. I thought you'd been doing it for years and years, but you done come to the end of the trail now. He's dead. Just before his death, he came back and he begged apology. He begged apology. But it was too late. He should have listened before. See, but it didn't do any good. I feel that God forgave him. I trust that he made heaven. But he's still dead. So what we need to do, the Bible said we shorten our life, our days, by our disobedience. What we need to do is to yield our spirit. The Bible said, submit yourself unto them, for they are God's ministers. They watch for your soul. They're looking out. Somebody would say, well, I can watch for myself. No, you can't. They are watching in the spirit. They are looking and seeing devils and demons that's about to take your head off. Like Balaam, there stood an angel. God opened the eyes of the ass that was carrying Balaam to see the angel. Because if he had not seen the angel stood with a sword drawn back and was going to take his head clear off. And he was a prophet. But because he had got beside himself, he wanted riches, he wouldn't listen, got clear out of bounds like some of the ministers of today, messing with the wrong things. Some messing with the flesh today. Harlotry, but he was messing with money like some are today. And the angel told him, when that donkey began to talk, that man had got so crazy, he had got so out of his mind, that he was arguing with the donkey. Now, man has to be slapped out of his mind to argue with a mule. You know, and say, I don't like what you're saying. And especially if the mule is saying something. Because I can tell you for sure, I've said this before, if that donkey had spoke to me, I wouldn't have heard just the first words he said. And I don't know whether I'd heard them good or not. Because if any time a donkey starts talking to me, I'm going to be praying and screaming and hollering, oh my God, or get me out of here. Or I'm going to do like Elijah with Jezebel. Because a man is showing up beside himself. The poor old donkey just said to him, said, have I ever acted like this before? The donkey saw the angel and the sword, and he didn't know what he might kill him too. And he said, all the days I've been with you, I've done you right. I've taken you where you wanted to go and whatever. And he told him, he said, if I had a sword or whatever in my hand, I'd kill you. But I tell you what, when his eyes was open and that angel said, if it had not been for that animal, he said, I'd have slayed you. Old Balaam began to get some sense. Folks, you come into the house of God and you don't understand. I say this a lot of times. You don't understand. The angels of God are in here. Oh, somebody said, well, that angel back there, boy, you ain't going to find one around Bethlehem. The Bible says, be careful how that you entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. That could be an individual that would walk in here. That could be an angel. That's like I saw a vision of my painters out on the job, my brethren. And I saw in this vision, there were some of them up on a ladder on the side of the house. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. And as he come down from heaven, all of a sudden he changed into a painter. He went into paint clothes and walked right up in the midst of them and worked among them. And was right there on the ladder with them. Strangely enough, after that, a man by the name of Michael come got a job with him. I don't know whether that had anything to do with it or not, because it might have been the wrong kind of angel there. I don't know. See, here's the thing, folks. There are angels around. If there was not an angel here as a human being, that is having a theophanes or having a body appearing in our midst as a human being, if there wasn't one here, if one never came to Bethlehem, still, when you talk to people, they don't have to be strangers. When you talk to people, a lot of times you are entertaining angels unaware, because the Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. And a lot of times their angel is standing right there and you don't see him. So you need to be careful what you say. Their angel is standing right there. You can go do something wrong. Just think wrong, say wrong, do wrong. And their angel may be standing there and you can turn around and just walk off like that. And that angel smites just like that. And you're in trouble over your head just because you did that. See, the Bible says that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. The angel is with you. Every person has a guardian angel, and the angel is with you. Here Mary sees two angels sitting here, one at the foot and one at the head, as to where Jesus lay. I've seen the time when I was going off of a mountain. I've seen the time when I would have been killed. I've seen the time when I was in terrible circumstances. Had it not been for the guardian angel of God, I'd have never made it. The Bible said the angels of God are made ministering spirits to them and for them that are heirs of salvation. They minister to us and for us. The shepherds on the hillside, there came an angel. A bright light came over them. That was an angel. They don't have bodies. Though they appear like to Abraham, the Lord appeared in a body. Whereas Jesus told him many years later, he said, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced as he was glad. But here under the oak of Mamre, some of you have been there, I've been there. These angels came. Three angels appeared as to bodily form. But angels don't have bodies. You're fortunate. You have a body. Though in your angelic being, you are an angel. And you are in heaven if you have been born again. You've been translated as an angelic being, as to your interperson, into the glory world. And you are there. You fellowship angels. Now, if you wasn't so carnal-minded, you could see those. If we wasn't so slow to develop, if we were more spiritual as the people of old. See, the people of old kept their bodies under subjection. They kept their bodies in condition. They were holy in body. The Bible said be holy in body and spirit. They were holy in body so they could fellowship these angels. They could see them. But see, in our day, there's so much grace given to us by Calvary until we, as people, as a whole, we don't stay holy in body. We don't make no effort to be holy in body. We don't bring the body under subjection. Paul said, I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection. See, we don't cast down our thoughts. We don't do away with our passions. We don't do away with our gullible desires of eating and drinking and riding and buying and seeing and having this and having that. And always our mind is on something natural. See, that's why that you don't fellowship the angels for seeing them. But they're still there. Like this angel that came to Abraham. He was there. The angel that came to the shepherds on the hillside. The angel that appeared as a great light when Paul was struck down on the way to Damascus. Angels that appeared to Manoah. Angels all down through the years. As the angel that appeared to me. Couldn't move. I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. Sometimes when an angel appears to you, like Daniel, when he went into his vision and he saw these angels, he said everything within him, the way he expressed it, as though it turned to corruption. He said, I retained no strength at all until the angel of the Lord touched me and gave me strength. See, they're so mighty. It's like something that happens that takes your breath away. You say, my, that just took the breath out of me. You know, it's so great. It was such a state of ecstasy, whatever. They're so mighty. But I say this again to tell you the danger. Not only the danger, but there are blessings. There are blessings. You can be blessed. A woman just said one thing to the Lord, and it pleased God so well. He said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Think now, we're talking about female, not masculine. This woman, a lot of folks want to put the women down, you know. The woman said, yea, Lord. The dogs eat of the crumbs. Her humility was so great. The Lord rebuked her. Just said, you don't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, yea, Lord. I know that. No dispute. But with such humility, the Bible said pride before destruction and humility before honor. Every place in the Bible you find honor, like Moses, the most meek man in all the world. Jesus said, meek, lowly in heart. Everywhere you find honor, you find meekness first. You find humility. You don't find Pentecostal experiences where it says, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Bless God, I'll do this. And bless God, I'm, you know, and I'm such and such and thinking highly of yourself and all these kind of things. You don't find that. That's why I say a lot of times you think you're right with God when I know that you're not right with God. Discernment shows that you're not right with God. You've either got your mind on the world and you're hungering and thirsting after the things of the world, or you're self-made, or you're overconfident in your ability. You always find humility where there is honor. The Bible said humility before honor. Not saying I'm called to this, or I'm called to that, or I'm somebody. That's not it at all. But Jesus washed Peter's feet. And the woman says, dogs eat of the crumbs, Lord. You can call me a dog, it's all right. I won't say anything about it. But even dogs, you're responsible for dogs. They belong to you. And, you know, they do pick up the crumbs. And the Lord was so moved. He said, so great is thy faith. He said, woman, just say whatever you will. See, and that's why it's what I say. You come to the minister. Bless God. Bless God. You ain't going to get nowhere. You come into church. Bless God. Get on with it now. You know. You ain't nowhere. With God. Somebody says, I know, I'll come over here to get some more because I already know. You don't know something as you ought to know, and that is that you need a little humility. The Bible said a meek, humble spirit is of great value in the sight of God. Oh, somebody said, but you just don't know how much I've studied. Makes no difference to me. Like Paul said, they that seem to be somewhat in conference add nothing to me. Being in humility, she just said one thing. You can say one thing and get yourself a curse. You can say one thing and get yourself a blessing. Just one thing, that's all you got to say. It just depends on how it strikes the Lord. If you see your brother or your sister having problems, and maybe they deserve to have the problems, maybe they're being chastened, maybe they won't listen, maybe they're going through the fire. And you just turn around and you point your finger and say, yeah, old so-and-so, I told you. And you go to somebody else and say, yeah, old so-and-so. The Bible said, don't look on your brother in the day of his calamity. Don't you dare do it, lest the wrath of God be kindled against you, and the Lord just turn away from him, and the wrath of God will be on you. Don't go pointing out your finger and say, yeah, bless God, he got him because of me. I'm Mr. Such and Such, you know, and he's an old rag doll. God got him. He'll know next time to take a bite. Don't go doing that because you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, you use the crudest expressions. Well, I know how to get things over to people that think that way. Let's give him a hand. If you think that way, that's the way that it should be expressed to you. If you think as a dignitary, then let me talk to you as a dignitary. If you think as a pig, then let me address you as a pig. A pig understands his kind of language. He understands his grunts, and he understands a good bucket of slop, and you pour it to him. If somebody else comes by, they might say, you spend your time pouring in slop? Say, yes, I'm feeding pigs. But if it's not pigs and it's dignitaries, you don't dare to take slop to them. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so the Bible said we use great plainness of speech. John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that don't bring forth some good fruits, they're going to cut it down. We'll cut it down. All right, somebody, well, I think you said enough, but I'm not through yet. See, I'm not through. That's why I told you beforehand, if you have to leave, then it must be enough for you. If I'm sitting down at the table and I eat enough, I just get up and leave. I don't tell Sister Betty to leave. Wouldn't do any good anyway. But we just eat till we get enough. All right, so we are here not to mock. We are not here to joke. But we are here to use great plainness of speech and to be down on a level to where we can be human beings and relate one to another. You know, that's the only way that you can get two people. The Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching. Someone will say, well, I want to hear something that's eloquent. Well, you'll never hear it out of a preacher. If he does that, he's done got beside himself. He's done got back into the world. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching. When you come to church, you know what you're going to hear? The foolishness of preaching. You know why it's called foolishness? Because the Bible teaches that even the wisdom of men are foolishness in the sight of God. God is so advanced in his thoughts. And the Bible said his thoughts are so high above our thoughts, more than the heavens above the earth, to the extent that what we think and say is literally foolishness. So he says, because they knew not God in what they termed as their wisdom, it pleased God to save men by the foolishness of preaching. And that's why he said, lean not to your own understanding. Get rid of every thought. Every thought. It's because your thoughts are foolish. Someone would say, why should I get rid of all of my thoughts? I could tell somebody was calling me into question about the other day. They were saying things. I didn't rebuke them. I just knew that they didn't understand. Why should I get rid of all of my thoughts, Brother Pike? Because the Bible says that men's thoughts, God looked down from heaven and saw that their thoughts were continually evil. So when you sit here and you don't submit yourself, that's evil thoughts. You've got your spirit in evil circumstances. If you can't blend in with the brethren as to submission, as to move with them, as to surrender your spirit, then you're in trouble because God is a spirit. And when you come in here, you're going to have to turn your spirit loose, and you're going to have to do it exactly like the little woman did when she said, yea, Lord. That is, if the preacher comes down and he preaches, you don't buck up and say, bless God, he ain't talking to me. If he says dog, say, amen, yes, Lord. If he says hog, say, amen, yes, Lord. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, would you compare a person with a hog? Jesus said they are pigs and swine. I didn't say it. He's the one that said it. He just told me to say what he said. He that God sendeth will speak what God told him to say. Would you say then a person was no better than a pig? I would say that a pig is a credit to the individuals that don't serve God. Even pigs drown themselves and would not live with devils when Jesus gave the devils permission to go into the swines, they would not house a devil. They went down and committed suicide before they'd do it. People live right with the devils. Stay right there with them. Be a fellow to them. Let's give the Lord a hand. Ain't no need to frown upon me. It's true. They've done better than many human beings. Show me one pig that ever done what Judas did. Show me one dog, one hog. See, there's no record. I know you say, well, they couldn't betray. Hogs ain't got no sense anyway, somebody said. Had enough sense to drown themselves to keep from housing devils. Got more sense than a lot of folks got. If you don't think a hog's got sense, you just go close to him with a slop bucket. He'll let you know right off that he knows what you've got and he's been waiting for you. Well, anyway, I'm just saying this, folks, that we are no more than beast. The church is filled with every unclean and hateful bird. It's become a cage and no longer a church. So you that love God and you that are children of God, we are not going around telling people that they're pigs and dogs. We're going around, even in our world, we say be kind to dumb animals. If you got a pig and a dog, you don't try to beat him. You try to take care of him. See, people out there are beasts. Jesus didn't make a mistake. They're beasts. And that's why he has mercy on them. That's why a lot of times you get killed when they live. You say, well, I don't understand. You know, I know that man was a child of God and he's dead and that old hog out there is still living. But see, it goes back to knowing right and wrong and having a conscience. The man that had a conscience shouldn't have done what he'd done. The man that had an understanding shouldn't have done what he'd done. The old hog, as you called him, didn't do nothing but nip on the bottle. That's all he knowed. He didn't know nothing about God and righteousness. He just knowed he had a problem and he was looking for a bottle to drown his sorrows. That's why God spared him. He didn't know his left hand from his right. He's cold and there's grace for him. Who knows but what that man that you call an old hog might come to God someday. It might not be an old hog. It might be a son of God that's out there as it was with the prodigal as to the swine that would have filled his belly with the husk if somebody had not gone and told him. All right. So then, we should have respect to children of God. They are gods. Don't mess with gods. They have the power to destroy you. You come messing with gods. When you cause a god trouble, it means that you certainly are not a god. Or you'd have had more sense than to have done that. And you cause that god trouble, that god can destroy you. He can destroy you because he's eternal. You can't destroy him. He's eternal. He don't have to take a bow to you. He don't have to do nothing. He's eternally alive. He doesn't have to do anything to you to please you. He is a god. And if it is the ministry for Almighty God, then the Bible said be afraid because he's got a sword. Like the angel to Balaam. And he doesn't bear the sword in vain. He's commanded of God not to hold back the sword from blood. So he can remit your sins. He can retain your sin. If you want to be blessed, the Bible said, they that believe my prophets shall be blessed. They shall prosper. If you want to be blessed, the Bible said, confess your sins. And not only confess your sins, but forsake them. Some of you don't even confess them. He tells you to confess your faults one to another. You don't even do that. To pray for one another, you don't even do that. See, and he said, when you confess your sins, he said, then leave them alone from then on. Get away from them. Don't go back to them. Don't practice them. Don't lay the foundation of repentance over and over saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go do wrong today and come back. I'm sorry tomorrow. Go do wrong the next day. Come back. I'm sorry the next day. The old Catholicism system, don't do that. Repent. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Don't mess with it no more. We're growing. We stumble and stagger like a little child. But stay away from those things. If you don't want to help the preacher, if you don't want to help the brotherhood, if you're going to mumble and grumble and you have to do this thing, as out of a dread, or you feel, well, I've got to do this. I'm at the campground, and you know, they won't think I'm a Christian, that kind of thing. Don't do it. You're better off not to do it. You're going to cause the minister trouble. You're going to cause the brotherhood trouble, and you're going to trouble yourself. Because you're bound to trouble the minister, because he'll discern it. And then you're going to be in trouble yourself. Don't do it. Leave the campground. Leave the brotherhood. Get away. Run for your life. Go somewhere. Do something. Whatever you do. And if you're determined that you're going to stay here, then do right. Live right. God's properties, treat them right. Honor the request and the rules and regulations of it, because they're only biblical. They're nothing to cause you any misery. They'll cause devil's misery, and you might be miserable because you give place to a devil. I want you to bow your heads with me. I've got a man sitting in the balcony back here. He always gives me trouble. And he's just overconfident in himself. Things has happened to him that he's barely escaped with his life and his help. And why in the name of reasoning he can't use a little sense and get away from that thing, I don't know. But I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to probably give him every chance, just about I know how to give him. And I keep telling him over and over, over and over. I had a sister like that for a number of years. I kept pleading and telling her over and over until finally I just let the Lord have his way, and she liked to died. I had another sister that done the same thing. I let God have his way after a while, and she liked to die. I don't have any trouble out of those sisters anymore, especially one of them. She's just as sweet and humble as she can be. The other one occasionally rises up a little bit. I got a woman here that she's carnal-minded. She's got her husband now. She's got her little one now. And she could care less about God. I'm telling you, just like it is. She could care less about God. This woman's got her husband. For a long time, she didn't have her no husband. And she finally got her husband. She was as religious as she could be till she got her husband. Now she's got her husband. She's got her little one. And she don't reverence God. She don't reverence nothing. She just comes to church and sits there, and that's it. She don't have any interest in God. Folks, I could go on and on with different ones here. If I just want to rebuke openly, just rebuke you openly. Or if I just want to call you out and tell you some things about your life. But I try my best to do it this way until I just get to the place to where I have to speak of some of them. They just won't listen to me. But she's going to get into trouble. There's going to come a bad day for her. It's already moving toward her. I saw here a while back it was going to move in on her. And it did. And it almost cost the death of her little one. And we prayed and talked to God, and the Lord undertook. But she's still going to go through her religious, nonchalant-like way of having no concern about God, just her passions. She's concerned about her passions and her way of life and her husband and what she wants to do. So I'm telling you, sister, you're in trouble. I want to pray. Dear, wonderful Heavenly Father, I ask you to come down in our midst. Every unclean spirit that would come into this building or into this sanctuary, Father, in any way with anyone, I pray that you would rebuke it, that your precious Holy Spirit might have the preeminence here, because this is your house. And, O Lord, remembering when you turned over the tables, you popped the whip and you drove them out because they were misbehaving themselves in your house, knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You placed the minister there to do these things, Father, to let them know that they must enter in with thanksgiving and with praise, that their spirits must be submitted and surrendered, or else they've not been born again, Father, and that being carnal in their thinking, that they are your enemy the whole time they're sitting on these benches, and that spirits are continually waging war with the ministry, they are the ones that are allowing it to come in. And Lord, this man that's so carnal-minded that I'm speaking of right now, you know who, Father. And especially, Lord, it seems that if I allow some of them to do a little something, they get so religious sometimes that they get lifted up and are contrary in their spirits and contrary to me, contrary to you and your work. I'm asking you to be merciful to the man. But Lord, if the man continues to rebel, then I want you to reprove him. I want you to reprove him. And the others that know better, that are willfully doing these things, that come into the sanctuary, Father, if they don't make a change to make an effort, I want you to deal with them. I want you to deal with them. As long as they make an effort, Heavenly Father, though they stumble many times, I ask you to forgive them and bear with them, and I'll bear with them. But those, God, that willfully come in to cause me problems with their attitude and spirit and carnal reasoning, I want you to deal with them if they don't make a change. I'm asking you to do it for your glory, to purge out the old leaven, that we might be a new lump, and that the Spirit of the living God might be saved in the midst of the brotherhood for that great day of your coming. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I pray this way in my secret chambers. And the Bible said, pray in secret that God may reward you openly. And He does continually. He blesses me continually. The Bible said, you'll be as a watered garden and as a fountain whose waters don't fail. But I pray this way in my secret chambers. But I say a few things once in a while, and I think God allows the interruption so that I will say these things in your presence to let you know that you're going to be in trouble and that I am praying this way in my secret chambers. You need to get your spirit right. You walk across the floor. You walk up to where I'm at. You come in this direction, even to the instruments or wherever, and I pick it up. One walked up here on the platform. Spirit's not right toward me. They're going along with me. They're trying to make a change. And I'm trying to work with them. They're different. But they've never had the right spirit since I've known them. And I'll give break after break to try to help them. Still, even trying to hold their spirit down, they've still got that carnal reasoning against me. And one of the things that causes it is because you know there's a distance between me and you. And I'm not just saying this to the individual. I'm speaking to the people in general. You know there's a distance. And you know that. And when you walk before me, you feel something. And because of that, you rise up. Whereas if it wasn't there, there wouldn't be no distance. There wouldn't be no feeling. There wouldn't be no war with the God that's in my heart. There wouldn't be no war. When you come, it would be like light blending into light. If you love your wife and she loves you and she's been straight with you and you've been straight with her and you meet her and she's been working all day to your advantage and the children's advantage and you've been working all day to her advantage and y'all are trying to have a little home together. When you meet each other with an embrace. You meet each other and your spirits flow together. But if that woman has been crooked or you've been crooked, when you meet her, something's going to react. Because you're not going to have a clear conscience. And she may not have any discernment, or you may not, as to discern that evil is there. But it's there. And if you ever get any discernment, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. So when you come around, a lot of times some of you won't come around me. Because you know that you're not right. And you won't come around me because you know I'll pick it up. But a lot of times when you stumble and stagger, you should come around. Because I'm not going to hurt you. I'm to help you. And if you stumble and stagger, got into a snare, I'll help you. Even if you stumble. But if you come around with an old spirit contrary to me, and you out there practicing iniquity, and you just come around, and you're not trying to clean yourself up, I'll guarantee you, you're going to run into the sword. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, but you can pity yourself. You can say, I don't understand. You can weep and bawl and do like Esau. You can do whatever you want to, but you're still going to run into the sword. God ain't going to spare you. You go do your thing and think your thoughts and practice your carnal way of life. Come around, tears in your eyes, and the Bible said the devil humbles himself. To humble yourself so you can get out and do all those things all over again, get back in the same old mind, you're going to run into the sword and all your tears are going to help you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You are a man, and the devil is after you. He's after me. And you are a man, and all you got to do is give place to him. You are a woman. Just give place to him, and he'll get you. And the way you give place to him is just your thoughts. You don't have to do anything else. The Bible said, let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Just your thoughts. Every thought should be in obedience to the Lord Jesus. I know when I say all these things that you'll be back again. I'll be back again. You won't give the more earnest heed to these things to incorporate them within your lifestyle. And you'll be back again, and even unawares, your mind will be just like it was tonight before I started to exhort you. I'll have to start all over again, and God, with his patience, starts all over again. Whereas you could stop that before you ever come in them doors right there. A lot of times I come in these doors. Before I step through them doors, I stop. And I say, the Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Where's your thought? Where's your mind? You shouldn't come in here with your mind on people and on things and on doings and on self and on programs and on your future as to what you're planning to do. You should come in here with your mind completely free from anything, but to come into here with praises and thanksgiving. And if you don't do it, you're standing in the way of sinners, and you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, and your delight is not in the laws of God as to day and night, and you will not be as a tree that's planted by the water, and you will not bring forth your fruits as to the fruits of the Spirit in your season. You won't bring them forth. There won't be any fruits in your life. And God will cut your tree down, and what you do will not prosper. It'll only be problems. All right, let's sing together. Forgive me if I've kept you a little long. With that happening to little Matthews today, it made me feel even the more that whether you feel that you need the exhortation or not, that you still need it. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may swing over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in to stay, and come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this song, I Love Him. Can you sing it?
I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise, it is mine.
Glad to have our brother back here, our black brother. I hadn't seen him in a long time. As a matter of fact, he done stayed away so long I done forgot his name. But also this brother that come in here, I don't know whether I've ever met you or not, brother, have I? First time. Let's give the Lord a hand for this brother and for the other and come back to church. All right, let's sing that chorus again. Everybody can come if you like.
Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Sing it again.
For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book.
One more time.
For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine.
Tonight, before you go to sleep, I want you to promise yourself that you'll pray for little Matthews tonight. He was such a courageous, courageous little fellow. And believe that Brother Randall can say that's not exaggerated at all. He needs your prayers, and you need to pray for him. I thought today as I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I wish that had been my arm. I wish that that had been my arm. I don't, and I really mean that from my heart. You know, you could handle it a whole lot better than that little fellow could handle it. But to think, you know, that he was so courageous. And yet I know that all things happen the way they're supposed to happen. God don't make mistakes. And I know that they happen not because God is wanting to hurt our little ones, nor
because God wants to hurt anybody, but because somehow there was a place given to spirits, and Satan took the toll. He got advantage and he took the toll. It could have been me. It could have been you. The ones that are involved. It could have been any of you as well as them. It could have been me as well as them. As a matter of fact, you might go out tomorrow and that it didn't happen to you today. And you may go out tomorrow and it may happen to you tomorrow. Like I said, I saw two automobiles wrapped around a telephone post. It had to do in the vision, though it might have had a spiritual significance. I don't know, but it had to do with the people that's connected here. So you never know. It could be me. It could be you. If it was Brother Branham, it could be you. It could be me. If it was Paul, it could be you. It could be me. I do know one thing. If you try to do what's right, if you love the Lord, when the devil does come in on you, the Bible said when he comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard against him. And I believe that God worked a miracle for little Matthews. The medical world is doing what they can, I'm sure, with the compassion they'd have for the child. I'm sure that they would do their best. As a matter of fact, they tell me that the man that is doing the work on his arm is an expert, and he's one of the best. So the Lord has provided that already. And you promise yourself tonight that before you lay down on your bed, that you're going to drop down on your knees for Matthews. Don't say, after you fill your tummy just as full as you can get it, say, "Oh God, have mercy on little Matthews. Honey, I'm sleepy. I got to go to bed." Don't you dare do that. If you've never got down on your knees, you get down on your knees for little Matthews. And you take a minute or two to talk to God. I don't care how tired you are, how bad you feel. You couldn't feel like he feels. You get down on your knees. You young girls, you young boys, even you little ones, before you go to bed, Brother Pike's little ones, you get down on your knees and you say, "Lord, help little Matthews." Because it could have been you, and I might have been saying to little Matthews tonight to pray for you. So you pray for him. And you get out of this old mean, haughty spirit you've got, this old boisterous, contrary, self-will spirit of resistance. And you learn to submit yourself. You little ones, submit yourself to your parents. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. And people, submit yourself to the ministry. And submit yourselves one to another, that God might help you and that God might watch after you. Because I'm telling you, you're going to need it. It's going to come to your house. I raise my hand to heaven that it's going to come to your house. You might say, "Well, it doesn't come to my house. It won't come to my house." I raise my hand to heaven. It's going to come to your house. That's how much sure that I am. And if it's late coming to your house, then it's going to be worse at your house than any other house. If it's late getting there, you can be sure of that. It's going to be bad. All right. Let's just close our eyes. Pray for one another. You pray for David and Darlene and for little Matthews. Because tonight it's little Matthews. Tomorrow it could be your little boy. It could be your little girl. I feel sure a few days ago that anyone that was involved in this thing that happened wouldn't have even thought a thing like that would occur. In no way. Someone would say, "Not us. We're praying folks. We're special folks." But folks, it happened, didn't it? It happened so severe. It happened so bad. I told you not too long ago. I said, folks, when they got over the Jordan, the leaven mixed with the unleavened, and there was trouble, there was wars, there was problems, even when they got over the Jordan. You need to remember what I'm telling you. All right, while you're standing here, your mind's on the Lord. Ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up and pray. I hope you don't get mad at me, but a lot of times I'll go to a dad
I'll say, Dad, I don't want you getting on your wife. Don't jump on her. But I saw your little children wandering out in the roads and all over the place today and yesterday and the day before. And they are going to get killed if you don't get a backbone and say something. And today, a man was talking to me this very day. And he was trying to tell me how he felt about a certain situation concerning a child. And he wasn't right. His attitude wasn't right. And I told him, I said, you better do something about your own child. Better do something about your own child. Because I've become concerned for a number of days. And I said, even right now, better do something right now. Right now. Because the child was in danger right then. So folks, don't point your finger at somebody else. Just ask God to have mercy. Ask God to help us to pray and believe God and to stop our foolishness on the campground and with the things of God. Stop gossiping and backbiting and saying things. Stop running your mouth about things. The Bible says a mouth ought to be stopped. You're subverting whole households. You're causing people to die and go to hell. You're kindling the wrath of God against them. You might think not, but you see the things that's happening. Already two or three things has happened on the campground. It's tore people up. It's cut them off from the work of the Lord. One brother said the other day to another brother, he said, I feel cut off from God, or from the brotherhood, that is. And the vision showed he was cut off from the God and the brotherhood. Told him before it happened. And I told my wife, I said, Betty, I said, I see something happening that if something doesn't take place, that there is a woman that's got a gun. I said, and if something don't happen, this could very easily happen, that this woman is going to shoot a certain person. Oh no, somebody says. Oh yes, it happens all the time. My daughter could shoot somebody. Your daughter could shoot somebody before the morning. My son could kill somebody. Your son could kill somebody before the morning. You might say, oh, my son's too precious. No, I tell you, before the morning, it has happened overnight where a man would be one of the finest that ever walked and be a murderer before morning, and a woman the same way. You don't know how people feel about you. As I close, just listen to this. Last night, my Gracie come by the place that I spoke to you about, where the man politely went in, very courteously robbed, took off. They didn't find him. They didn't get him. You know why my Gracie was there instead of just going in and out? Because somebody was there. Somebody was there. And the woman was scared and wanted my Gracie to stay. Somebody said, I can't blame you, Brother Pike. I couldn't blame her. I couldn't blame you if you thought like that. Because I think like that sometimes about people, because I know there's people out there like that. Folks, what I wanted to tell you, the last part was that it was one of the people from Bethlehem that was in there that she was scared of. The reason I know is because my Gracie was there and she recognized it. All right. You see where you're headed. You see what you're doing. You see your testimony. And a lot of times, it's because you don't listen at me. You don't conduct yourself right. You don't do, you don't walk circumspectively. See, and you think you are a shining light and nobody would be afraid of you. And your actions and your doings actually creates something like that. All right. As Brother Richard comes to pray, I ask you again to pray for these that was involved in this today, because it's very sad. The whole situation is heartbreaking. It's very sad. It's something that looked like that there was no way in the world to prevent, but it's still very sad. And the people are crushed. And you need to pray for them. And when you don't have anything else to do, you need to pray for me and my family.